We're going to come back to those we started a few weeks ago and talking about our second purpose statement here of sharing the gospel. And we ought to share the gospel, and we know that. And as a church, we ought to be sharing the gospel. We know that. Now look again, at this is our theme for the year. In Romans 1, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed." I love that. "I'm not ashamed of the church." Does it say that? What's it say? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." A lot of people get in real emphasis on the church. Now, we love the church. Jesus loves the church and died for the church. What should we not be ashamed of, though? The gospel. Notice what he says, though. "For it," what? The gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to some people that believe." No, what's it say? "To everyone that believeth." To the Jew first, also to the Greek. Notice what he says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." So not only is the righteousness revealed, he says also the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. As we pause in our reading there, I want you to notice some things about the gospel today. Now, we already talked about the strength, the power, the emphasis of the gospel, all of those things. But I want to encourage you again today, what do I do with the gospel? Now, I think about that often. What do I do with the gospel? I mean, it sounds good, and I sure enjoy talking about it and preaching about it. But what do I do with it? I've accepted it. I'm a saved child of God, and I hope that you are. I believe everyone in here is a saved child of God. I hope you are. If you're not, again, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I say that so often, but it's so true. I know what to do. I've received the gospel. Now, today, raise your hand up if you've received the gospel. You say, I'm a saved child of God. Go ahead and raise it up. Nice and high. Nice. Thank you so much. All of us have, I believe. And think about that today. We have a now duty and responsibility to go forward and propagate that truth to which we have received ourselves. Paul's great desire was to share the gospel with all people everywhere. He did that very thing. He asked churches, in fact, to pray for him that doors would be open, that he would be able to speak and preach the gospel to other cities just like them. There was a man many years ago by the name of Hudson Taylor. You may have heard of him. He was a missionary to, at that time, China. Very communistic, very closed country. And this was back in primarily around the 19th century. And he went there and he went to several churches in the States, in America, and even over in Great Britain. He gave them and he said, "Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to China and share the gospel. I'm going to plant a church and start churches over there." And they all told him he couldn't do it. Said, "Don't do that." He said, "Son, that's a closed country. If God wants to save China, he'll do it. He doesn't need your help." Hudson Taylor said, "Well, I believe God is sending me. God wants to save him, and I think he's going to use me as a tool, an instrument." They laughed at him. They mocked him. They told him no, they wouldn't support him. No, very few people supported him financially to be able to even get over there. When he did get over there, he had a lot of trouble. Obviously, being a Caucasian man in China was very difficult. No one would listen to him. He didn't know the language. In fact, just a few years into it, his baby died on the mission field, and he thought, boy, everything's falling apart. He went on and he stayed faithful. In fact, he started to dress like the Chinese people. He started to even emulate the Chinese people and their mannerisms and other things. And when he would come back to the States and back to Great Britain and other places, they would laugh at him. This guy's crazy. He's losing it. And because of him staying so faithful, not one church was there. Not one gospel preaching ministry was there. And by the time he died, there were almost 500 missionaries over there. He opened the door, didn't he? He opened the door. What people see as crazy or lunacy or whatever you want to call it, he was unashamed of God's call, unashamed of the gospel. I ask you today, where are we? The answer today is the gospel. We know that. The answer to your problems, the answer to this world and this country is the gospel. I think about so many people throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God, that were truly unashamed. So many people. I was reading just recently about Esther. You ever read that story? You ought to read it again. I don't know where you are in your Bible reading schedule, but you're going to get to that here real soon, or maybe you've already gotten through it. Esther was an amazing woman. She was called in. She was a beautiful young girl, called in and made basically what? The king's, one of the king's wives. And she comes in and her uncle at the time tells her basically, listen, I think God put you there for more than just eating grapes and having palm leaves waved at you all day. I think there's more to it than that, right? For such a time as this. And Esther got alone with God and she started to pray and she said, you know what? There is something more to that. By the way, God didn't put you here just to be here. God doesn't have you where you are just to be where you are. He's got you here for a reason. You see, on the backside sometimes of nowhere, we laugh at saying that. We say that often. He's got you here for a reason. And you think about it, God puts you here for this reason, for such a time as this. Now, you got to look past just your scenery right now and say, listen, there's more to it than just where I am. There's more to just being a mother, grandmother, father, grandfather. It's more to just working at whatever you work at, wherever you go in every day. There's more to it. And I want to look out as we as children of God have this incredible ability to look out into the future and see the future. We do. At the moment of salvation, we're presented with this truth and say, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go when you die? Well, most people, as I share the gospel with people, do you know what they say? I have no idea. I haven't thought about that. In fact, I don't want to think about that. That's so morbid. It's so depressing. And I say, sir or ma'am, maybe now is a good time to think about it. Maybe now is a time to start considering it. We look out into the future and we see that. Now think about this. Oh, Esther said, there's got to be something. They said, Esther, you better not go into the king's court without him inviting you in. Legally, he could have you executed. What's Esther say? She thought about it for about 2 seconds. She said one of the most famous quotes, what? If I perish, I perish. They were about to commit genocide on her entire people. If I perish, I perish. It's not me. I want to do what God wants me to do. She was unashamed. I think about Daniel. They said to Daniel, Daniel, you can't pray anymore. In fact, we just made a new law. We've got to be careful about when they make new laws, right? New law. Here's a new law. They're going to make a new law real quick, by the way, real soon. New law. You can no longer congregate together. Remember when they did that? You can't have more than 25% of your congregation, whatever it was. For a small church, you're going, okay, that's two of us. You can't do it. They're going to enact some new laws. They're going to pass some legislation. And by the way, the God of this world, lowercase G-O-D, is actively working all the time to shut the doors of our church. You know that. I mean, how hard is it to get to just a church? I mean, it's inevitable you don't sleep well. It's inevitable the kids are rotten getting in the morning to church. I mean, it's inevitable you got some kind of problem just getting to church. He's working all the time, and I could tell you story after story of things that the adversary does to our church during the week. It's incredible. Just trying to get us to stop. Little things, little irritants, little problems here and there that he tries to do to try and stop our church to go forward. But Daniel said, listen, I'm going to go ahead and pray anyways. You can't pray, they said. And Daniel thought about it for about 3 seconds. He said, okay. He went home. He opened up his windows facing towards Jerusalem. I like how he opened his windows, right? Amen. He didn't close in prayer. Lord. Daniel opened up his door and said, Lord God, if you can hear me. Those guys down there go, that dirty rascal. He's praying out loud. They go into the king. Can you believe this? Now, King, the decree is you signed it. Your ring, your signet is on the letter that if anyone prays, what? He's going to be thrown in the den of lions. They take old Daniel and put him down in there. The king's wringing his hands all night. You know the story. Oh, I hope he's okay. I don't know if God's going to deliver him. I don't know what's going to happen. By the way, the ungodly world is watching us and waiting to see if God will deliver us. And he will. And he comes to the whatever it was. Some believe it was a type of a cave, and others believe it was a hole in the ground. And he came and said to the hole, Daniel, you still in there, buddy? You okay? And he said, oh, I'm fine. What'd you wake me up for? You know, what do you want? A wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. We got. What do you need? Daniel's down there. I'm fine. Yeah, I was using the lion's belly for a pillow. We're doing good in here. He stopped the mouth of lions. Yeah, he did. But it started. Notice Daniel's unashamed. You know, today I say this about myself so often, but we need more Christians, more church people, more laymen of the church, more missionaries, more pastors' wives to be unashamed of the gospel. Boy, we're not going to do much if we cower in the corner over here on the backside of the mountain. Well, I don't know. I think about those three Hebrew boys earlier in the story, in the book of Daniel. You know the story of the great king comes and he says what? I'm going to erect a giant golden statue that all will and have to worship. And again, here's a little side note here. That's going to happen again here real soon. There's going to come a man on the scene who's going to rule and bring unity to the entire world under the guise of peace. We all need to get along. Oh yeah. He's going to erect, going to put up something for them to worship. The Bible will later talk about this and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it says he brings in what's called the abomination of desolation into the temple. Now, what that is, we're not exactly sure. Some have estimated or guessed at it, but it's some kind of abominable thing that he brings in. And he tells the people to worship this. And he says, as he sits there on the throne, it says, he as God, being as God, he says, I'm God, right? I want you to worship this thing. It's an abomination. And this king says to the entire world, basically, to the entire province, the kingdom, you will bow down and worship this golden image. And the sackbut and the harp and all the trumpet and all these instruments, when they play, everyone bowed down, bunch of sheep. Okay. Oh, yes, yes, okay, yes, poke me. Yes, okay, yes, I'll follow your rules, yes. Except for three boys in the back. You got these three heads sticking up, you know. Who in the world? What is that? Give me my thingamabobber, you know. Get those boys up here, brings them up. You know, what are you doing? Well, we won't bow. And they make one of the most amazing statements in all the Bible. They say, our God will deliver us. He said, don't you know if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fire? And then they say this, but if he doesn't deliver us, know this, we still won't bow. You know what they say? We trust God. He may deliver you from your problems, but he may not. Does that mean you're not going to serve him anymore? I know so many people that were here 2-3 years ago, no longer here. Problems came and troubles came and marital issues happened and all kinds of CRAP happened, okay, in their lives. And what? They gave up. Is that the God you serve? Is it the God that you serve that you would be ashamed of him? Would you be ashamed when bad things happen? They say, no, we're not going to do that. I think about David out there on that little, stood up on a grassy knoll, and down in the valley there was that wicked, ungodly man, Goliath. And all us battle-hardened soldiers were in the tent, weren't they, just shaking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? By the way, fellow Christians around you, they're going to be doing this. What are we going to do? What's going on? I don't know what we're going to do. And you got to be the one to stand up and say, we'll be faithful. We'll be faithful. Men of God, we need to lead the home. Your wife and kids, I don't know how we're going to make it. What are we going to do? I don't know. You stand, we're going to serve God. Thank God for all of you, by the way, men that are here today with your families. We're going to go to church. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And David said, is there not a cause? He's cursing. He's foul towards our God. Now, the things that Goliath was saying, some theologians have estimated that he was calling God certain things that we can't talk about in church. But basically that God was an effeminate, weak, limp-wristed God. And David said, hey, you're not going to do that. Do you hear people say Jesus Christ at work and not in the good way? Jesus Christ. Oh, and the hairs on the back of my neck just stand up and go, ugh. I said it before, but we were in a restaurant one day and these big biker guys, and they came in and just sat right next. Why do they got to sit right next to us? But they sat right next to us. And the whole time, God, 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 Jesus Christ, damn, God, I'm going. And so I told my wife, I said, man, honey, should I say, I'm going to say something to the kids, you know, I don't want. And she said, I said, well, I thought about it again for about 2 minutes. I was eating my food and I said, that's probably not a good idea right now. But sometimes you want to do that, right? I mean, it just drives you, and it ought to drive you nuts. If it doesn't bother you, there's something wrong. Why? Because he's our God. Okay, you're some ungodly, womanizing creep that's using his name like that. That bothers us. That should, right? And David said, is there not a cause? He's foul towards our God. He's using foul language. He's cussing the name of God. And his brother said, now, David, why don't you just quiet up and go feed your little sheep over there? By the way, they're a great picture of your fellow Christians. You want to do great things for God. Why don't you just calm down a little bit, okay? Chill out a little bit. I mean, we're still trying to add on to our building out here. Some people said, calm down now. I said, we're going to build our cemetery. Just calm down now, right? You got some of you doubters. We're trying to do some things for God. Now we're just waiting for some money, amen? We're going to do something. And they'll say, no, why don't you calm down? And they said, David, why don't you go over there and just feed your little sheep? He said, no, I'll go ahead and go handle them. You? You pipsqueak? You can't do that. He said, no, I can handle them. A bear came out one time and I handled him, and a lion came out of the forest and he tried to take some sheep and I handled him. What are you going to use? I'm going to go find me some 5 smooth stones. See, he knew his weaponry, didn't he? Ephesians 6 says we're to put on the whole armor of God. Most people today, most Christians don't even know what armor is. They're handed a helmet of salvation. Well, what do I do with this? Breastplate of righteousness. How do I put this on? Can you show me? They don't know, do they? They don't know. Have no clue. And especially, they're handed the sword, our only weapon. And they go, I have no idea how to use this. It's sad today. It's very sad. Now we think about these individuals that were unashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? The heart of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we preach. Paul says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Meaning that if I don't preach the gospel, God will be displeased with me. And I don't want that. There were people throughout Scripture as well that were ashamed. I think about Adam and Eve. You know the story. I won't belabor that. They were ashamed. Who told you you were naked? Well, we're ashamed and we hid ourselves, Lord. I think about David as he made those horrible decisions early on in his ministry, taking Bathsheba when he shouldn't have, tried to get her husband drunk, tried to get him to go and basically kill himself, and he wouldn't happen because he was a more righteous man than David. And he slept outside the door of David's house to protect David. And David woke up and was so ashamed. He took and told him to go to the front line, and they put him out on the front line of the battlefield, and he was literally murdered. The shame David felt, David swept it under the rug, only for God to later bring it back out. I think about Peter. Peter, when once was such a strong man, was such a faithful man, he was the leader of the group. He said, Lord, although all these fools are going to forsake you, not me. I'll go to the death for you. See, Peter was hoping to go to the death. That's the kind of guy he was. He was a man's man. He was hoping to be martyred or murdered for the faith. That's the kind of man he wanted. And when that didn't happen, he went, I don't know what to do. And when everything came down and the rubber hit the road, he said, I know not that man. Oh yeah, we saw you in the garden. We know who you are. I don't know him. And he started to cuss. I don't know that blankety blank man. I have nothing to do with him. He was ashamed. And God's grace is so sufficient. I love it. He comes back to Peter on that shoreline, doesn't he? And say, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Do you love me? Do you love me 3 times? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. Now let's notice a few things and then we'll wrap it up here this morning. Notice the first, the public identification. Back to our verse in 16, he says, for I am. I love this. He says, I am. It's a public identification. I am. I'm associating myself. I'm unashamed to say it. It's not we are unashamed. We could say that about the church. We are. But the we are is sometimes we can hide in the back. We have outreach sometimes, and it's funny. We've got, most of you folks are so faithful to that. You're good at it. But some of the newer folks that will come out sometimes and help us. And we tell them, we go out and we pass these out, and we invite people to church. Yeah, okay, what do I do? You know, just follow my lead, you know. I was with one fella, not at this church, at another church, and we were out sharing the gospel and passing out tracts. And he said, I've not done this much before. I don't really know what to do. I said, well, just follow my lead. I'll do the talking. And we knocked on a door of a fella, and I said, hi, sir, we're inviting people to church. Blah, blah, blah. He says, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, praise the Lord for that. I said, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? He said, well, can we know that for sure? I said, in fact, we can, sir. Can I take a few minutes and just share with you some verses from the Bible? He said, well, sure. And then this guy started to speak up. And he started saying, you know, something that we didn't agree with, you know. I said, oh, hang on a second now. Let me keep talking now. And we went through it a little bit, and later on I said, do you believe this too? And he was a little confused about it. And right, I got to help him and direct him towards the things of God in that. Correct him. Now think about, we can be naturally unashamed or ashamed. And what Paul says, I'm unashamed. I am. I will publicly declare this. We see characters throughout the Bible that do this, characters throughout history that have done that. Mark 8:38, he says, whoever's ashamed of me in this wicked and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of them. How can we be ashamed? In a wicked world, we ought to be standing bold as a lighthouse to those around us. He says next, there's a peculiar, if you will, reaction to it. He says, I'm not ashamed opposite of what the masses feel, of what the world says. I'm ashamed. You ever been ashamed of something before? I know you have. Walked into a room or a building. We laugh about this often, but my wife, you know, she's Hispanic and she's from a Spanish church and they speak only Spanish. And the first time I went there, she said, "My pastor wants to meet you." When we were dating, I said, "Well, that's going to be fun. You know, that'll be great. And why don't you come to church?" I said, "I came to church." And, you know, she sure enough came, sat right there in the front. And I'm like, "Honey, you got to sit in the front, you know." So I sit in the front, walk down the aisle. But it's a big church, by the way. Big church, a lot of people. And I'm walking down the middle aisle and they're all looking at me like, "Güero, gringo, man, what's that?" "She's getting a gringo here, man." And they don't talk like that. Please forgive me. They make fun of me because I can't speak. And they say, you speak Espanol?" I said, "Poquito." "No." And the bunch of the guys came around, shook my hand. Real sweet people. But I was so embarrassed. I was like, I don't know what to say. And then the pastor, he says, "Brother Tim's with us. And he's dating one of our girls, Miss Tina. And Brother Tim, come on up here." And I said, "Oh, no." He'd come on up. And I came up, you know. "Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?" And which I was going to college at the time. "Why don't you tell us about you?" And so he translated for me, you know. We're good friends now, but I said, "Can I trust what you're going to translate you?" I said, "Yes, my name, blah, 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 and this and that and that and this." All right. I was embarrassed. You ever been there before or something like that? I remember I stood up for the first time in a preaching class where you had to learn how to preach, you know. By the way, you can tell, I'm still still working on that. And got up for the first time and you preach and you got all your professors sitting right here. And I got up and I preached. Boy, I thought I preached good, man. I gave it all I had. I was, so passionate. Oh, and one of the professors right in the middle, he goes, and I went, "Great, thanks, you know." Afterwards, I said, "Well, hey, thanks for, you know." They said, "Oh, you did a great job, Brother Tim. You did a great job." You know, I said, "Yeah, right, you know." You ever feel that way? Paul says, "Now listen, I know you can be ashamed and embarrassed about a lot of things." And Paul was, by the way. Can you imagine Paul coming in after he got saved? Now, remember who Paul was. Paul persecuted the church. Everyone in the church knew Paul. They knew who he was. And then comes Ananias, this fella, and he says, now, church, I've got some news for you. Don't be shocked. But, you know, Saul, Paul, the guy that persecuted the church. Oh, yeah, he's terrible. He's right here. The Lord has saved him. And they just got mad. The Bible says that most of them didn't even believe him. Thought he was infiltrating the church. Thought he was undercover. And there's a guy by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas come, puts his arms around him. Barnabas says, "Hey, brother, I believe you. I believe you." He was embarrassed. Can you imagine his first message he stood up to preach? I don't know what he preached, but he preached the gospel. He preached and told the story about he got saved on the road to Damascus. He was embarrassed. I think about today, we can live and we can stand bold in our faith. Oh, I must keep going. I'll wrap it up here. We see the persecution that could come, but there's a perpetuation, there's a propagation. Notice what he says again in verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from," here it is, "faith to faith." Faith to faith. My faith to you. That's what I'm doing. Faith to faith. See, we don't wake up one morning and just go, "Whoa, I don't know what it is, but I just want to get saved." We don't do that. "Well, I don't know what it is. I just want to get right with God. I don't even know who God is, but I just want to." That's what the world gives us. No, it's faith to faith. Grandma told you. Grandpa told you. Mama told you. Brother, somebody told you, right? Somebody invited you. Somebody encouraged you. Somebody preached the gospel. And that's what he says. You and I must be unashamed to do this. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. He says, "But be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner," listen to this part, "but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." How'd you like that encouraging letter? He says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that's the gospel, "and nor of me as prisoner," I'm in prison, "but be partaker of the afflictions." You're going to face some afflictions and persecutions. But I want to say something again. Your goal is to please the Lord. Oh, I must keep going. I must keep going. As we see, it's given to us, the Great Commission, following through. 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." That ought to be our heart's cry. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't do the things God wants me to do. Woe unto me if I don't but as little as leave this on the table or on the counter at the doctor's office or at the restaurant or wherever you are. We can't always do that. We don't always do it. But woe unto us if we neglect to preach the gospel. If we neglect to reach those around us. Easier said than done. I know that. We must work daily. We must work constantly. Ephesians 6:19, listen to this. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what Paul said? Pray for me that I could share the gospel. Why? Because I'm not good at it. Pray for me that I could share, that utterance would be given. God would give me the power, the unction, the understanding, the energy to open my mouth boldly. Why? The greatest Christian to probably ever live, we believe, is Paul. He planted more churches, reached more people with the gospel, sacrificed more of his life for the things of God. And yet he says to the church at Ephesus, what? Please pray for me, because I'm not good at that. Pray that God would open up the door. Pray that God would open my mouth, that I would speak the word of God, that I'd be bold in that faith. Now understand, as Paul opened his mouth of the gospel, he didn't just get maybe a slap on the wrist. He was literally beaten. He was left for dead at least twice. He was put into prison on a regular basis. He didn't even have to come into town and look for a hotel. He went right to the prison. They said, what are you doing here? I just want to check in. you didn't do anything wrong. Oh, I will. In about 3 hours, I'll be here. Just give me a little bit of time. Okay, cell 131, take your key. He says, Lord, pray, church, that God would give me the boldness to speak. Oh, my friends, can I encourage you before I close here? Pray for opportunity. I know we're not good at speaking to others. I know that it's a little embarrassing. I know that. But pray for opportunity. Pray, I often pray, God, give me low-lying fruit. Had a young man come up, as I said a few weeks ago. He said, Brother Tim, would you save me? I said, well, I'll show you how to get saved. Yeah. I like those times. I don't even have to go out. Don't have to do anything. Pray that God would open those doors. Pray that God would send you and intersect your life with others. Can I say secondly, do what you can do. Do what you can do. What can you do? Can you write a letter? We've done this many times as a family. We've taken a little card, put a gift card in it, wrote just a note. Hey, Lord, put you on our heart. We've been praying for you. You need anything, let us know. And mailed it to a person or something. Let them know that. In that card, in that little thank you card, send them a gospel tract. Let them know you're praying for their salvation if they're not. Can I say then thirdly, make sure you're doing all the time, everywhere. Just have it on the forefront of your mind, seeking to reach others, seeking to share this wonderful news of the gospel. My friends, today we have an open door, a great door, he says in 1 Corinthians. It's open unto me, Paul says. There's many adversaries around me, he says there in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians. And he goes on and on. I have many verses, but I must wrap it up here. We find today the truth. We are going to share the gospel. That's part of our purpose as our church. And I hope that you are a part of a church. I said this to a person just recently, wanted to join our church. I said, well, we're a church that emphasizes the gospel. We're a church that emphasizes the word of God. We don't got a lot of activities. We don't got a lot of money. We don't got a lot of things. But what we do is we emphasize the word of God. And that's the church you need to be a part of. That's the church that you should be where you are. Heard the story in closing. You may have heard it before, but USS Battleship was traveling across the sea, and a young private was at the helm, and in the thick fog of the night, they were traveling down middle of the ocean. All of a sudden, the fog kind of broke, and he saw light in the distance heading straight for him. He quickly got on the radio, and he said, "We are a USS Battleship. You need to alter your course immediately." No response. The light started to get closer. He called out again, "We are a battleship. You need to alter your course immediately." Nothing again. And sure enough, it was getting close. He got real panicked. And finally, he said it one more time. He said, "You must alter your course immediately or severe consequences." And finally, through a crackled radio came back. He said, "We are a lighthouse. Alter your course." Isn't that true, though? God's saying, here you go, right here. Alter your course, you know. Lord, not now, not today. I'll do it this way. No. I'm the lighthouse. You don't tell me what to do. You're going to run smack dab into the side of this thing. Now think today, God's saying to us just the same. I want to use you. I want to direct your course. I want to direct your path. It is when we say, along with John the Baptist, as he says, I must decrease and he must increase. When he's increased, when he's forefront, he's numero uno. He's right there. Everything else will fall into place, right? And all of us have learned that. I hope you have. Some of you young people still making some decisions right now on what to do next with your life. I want to encourage you. I know it's hard to do. I couldn't imagine living in this generation. Could you, some of you older folks, could you imagine this generation? Pray for our young people. All they have to deal with. But you're praying about some of those decisions right now. I want to encourage you. Make Jesus Christ number one. He's the lighthouse. He's the lighthouse. Let him know that. Lord, I want you to direct me. Show me what to do. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to avoid these unnecessary mistakes in my life. I want to follow you. For the rest of us, would we pray the same? Lord, help me to do my part. And friends, today I want to encourage you, pray for opportunities. Look for opportunities. Do what you can in propagating the truth of the Word of God. Take some of our gospel tracts. Again, if you're not good at talking with people, leave them at the restaurant. Leave them. Mail them out. Send them all over. Do whatever you can do. I can do that part. I can do it. And I know it. We were out one day and passing these out, and I told my daughter, I said, honey, go hand this to those people over there. They were sitting out a little table out there outside of a little restaurant. She said, oh, Dad. I said, just go over there and just give it to them. And she said, okay. So she you know, grabbed it. She ran up there, threw it like it was a bomb, you know, like a grenade. And they were going, what in the world? I said, honey, next time fold it into an airplane, paper airplane, just, you know. These things are sharp, by the way. Be careful, amen. Do what we can, right? Do what we can. All right, I'll stop there today. I thank you so much for being here and listening so intently. I really do appreciate your faithfulness. Remember this, by being in church and making an effort to be in the church, God will bless you. A lot of people don't understand that. Well, it's optional. I don't know if I should go. I don't really feel good. I don't know. You being here, God will bless you. Amen? And if you're like me, we need all the blessing we can get. I know it. Some of you in your marriages, your younger marriages, some of you are middle-aged and other things, and others of you are retired in those years. We know it, don't we? We have got to have the Lord on our side. And I'm so glad you're here. I want to encourage you this week once again. Be faithful. Ask the Lord to keep souls at the forefront of your mind, of your heart. And stay consistent at that. Stay in your Bibles. Stay faithful to Him. And God will continue to bless. Again, I say this, but if you need anything, if we can help in any way, I'd love to be of assistance if I can. All right. Okay, would you stand with me? I do appreciate all of you.